I liked you better with glasses.
Too bad. I like me better without them.
Hey, pretty fans. Welcome to another episode of the Better With Glasses podcast. I am your host, Vicky Bazalia, and with me, as always, is Casey.
Hey, hey.
And today, we are doing our first post-season 2 finale of the Summer I Turned Pretty podcast episode. It's a bonus episode.
In short, we're back.
Yes, yes.
Couple weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
We let everybody decompress.
Yep. I mean, after the show ended, you were like, I knew there was no new content coming out. You're going to have to wait such a long time for the show. I know you've been itching to get back in the studio here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've definitely rewatched some episodes.
Yeah.
I dipped a toe, a little toe back into a little bit of season 1.
Dang.
I dipped a toe back into some of my favorite chapters of book 3.
Yep, I can confirm.
What else? Oh, fanfic.
That's another thing she's been doing.
I found the most incredible fanfic that
link
I think
it up in the description.
Yeah, we'll link it up, but also I want to talk to the author, so
yeah.
Probably try to hit up the author because it just there's a lot of fan fiction out there. This one I think is really good plot line. It's very true to the book and the characters and everything that's happened in the actual show.
From what I heard, she kept the voices.
Oh, the voices are, which yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
So tell us about the mailbag.
Oh yeah. So a lot of people have been asking like what the mailbag episode actually is. We did one for season 1. But since then, like obviously the followership has gone up quite a bit. So we're super excited. Basically, one of the things that's, I guess, most near and dear to my heart is when people write in and they DM and they say like the podcast helps them feel like they're quote unquote watching with a friend.
Right.
And I kind of feel the same way. Like every time I find a new friend who's watched the show, I always like to go back and forth and ask them questions about what they're thinking, what I'm thinking, like, and bounce things back and forth. So the mailbag is basically like a Q&A, right? So if you guys have thoughts, wonderings, do you want a second opinion on anything, just write it on in. We compiled them and we're going to go through them.
So we're recording this on Sunday. No, Monday afternoon, Labor Day. Shout out
to
the holiday.
Happy Labor Day.
I got an arts and crafts project from Vicky this morning. She handed me a stack of papers like this thick, and it was all the questions you guys sent in. So I was cutting and taping, and I got them narrowed down to about 30 questions. Because there's a lot of duplicates in there. So if you didn't hear your question called or read, there were a lot of duplicate questions. So I just kept one if there was duplicates. Mm-hmm. And then there was some, I wanted to be at around 30. So if you hear your question, awesome. If not, we're sorry. And write in next time because we're going to do this again.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how's this going to go?
So I put them into a bowl. They're each, each one is like crumpled up, and I'll pick one. And we'll go rapid fire.
Okay.
And she doesn't know them. I mean, she got them, but I don't think she read them.
You told me to not read them in depth. Right. So I saw them as they were coming in. And then I obviously just kind of took them, screenshot them, printed them out, and then gave them to Casey.
I had the grandmaster plan for the mailbag episode. Yeah.
But you're going to have to answer some too, okay?
Okay. Sure. All right. I wish our dog could kind of pick and be like the Vanna White of the thing. But here we go. If you're listening on the podcast, I'm picking out of a bowl. Okay.
And if you guys wrote in with your names, we'll
try and read that. Okay. This is from Maura.
Okay.
Have you met any of the cast from doing this podcast? If so, who's your favorite?
Ooh.
Thanks, Maura.
We have not met any of the cast in person.
In person. We did meet Ray DeRosa, who plays
Victoria
in season 1.
Obviously, she did an interview with us.
Yep. So we did a Zoom with her.
Yep.
We do have a few other potential Zooms lined up.
Yeah. We've had, I guess you can call it, parasocial relationships with some of the people, but we're trying to line up some stuff. The
idea.
Writer's strike.
This is the idea.
Put that on pause.
Han Khan.
Oh, yeah. He's been talking about this Han Con.
It's a good idea. So it's like all of Jenny Han's universes and have like a big weekend where, you know, I think
like Comic Con where we have like booths and book signings.
So if anyone thinks Han Con is a cool idea, she's from Virginia. We live in Virginia. I would love to. It would be a great way to meet everyone.
Yeah.
But
get the actors involved.
Yes.
No, we have not physically met any of the cast.
Who would you, if you could, who would you want to meet?
Jenny. Yeah, so Jenny. She's not the cast, right? But definitely.
Yo, she was in a couple episodes.
That's true. Come on. Cameo. But cameo. Jenny just had a birthday yesterday. So shout out. Happy birthday to Jenny Han.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. So I would definitely want to meet Jenny.
I mean, Belly.
I think Lola. Yeah, Lola would just be sweet.
Gavin, Chris.
Gavin, Chris. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, well, Sean.
Sean.
Oh, Rain. Oh, my gosh. I just want to meet all of them.
Hong Kong, baby. We can meet them all.
Yeah.
All right. Next up. This is from TSITP Favorites.
Okay.
Why do you think Jer and Steven's friendship from season one is non-existent in season two? I think the reason I think it is because because they had to show how strong Steven's and Conrad's was. So it was a way to, by having none of Jer and Steven, it strengthens Steven and Conrad.
Yeah. I also think if you go back to season one, there's a part at the end, I think it's when they're getting ready in episode six to go to the party, and Jeremiah is like upset after the volleyball stuff.
Yeah.
And Steven's like, I don't know, he's acting weird, man. And he's like, come on, man, you haven't hung out all summer. Right. You've really like deserted me. So it does feel to me that Conrad and Steven do have a relationship, but like Taylor said in the finale, like it wasn't just Belly or Jeremiah that like Conrad was kind of estranged from. The other thing too is I think it's a little bit circumstantial.
Okay.
That Steven and Jeremiah had a relationship or a friendship. I'm not saying that they're not friends. I'm just saying it's a little bit more substantial or circumstantial. I'm sorry. It's more circumstantial because they happened to be working at the club together last year.
Ah, interesting. All right. So Conrad is freshman in college. Steven is a senior in high school.
Jared is a senior in high school.
Okay.
Yeah. So Steven and Jared are the same age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We didn't get any Jared graduation.
We didn't. Well, we got mention of it. Remember, Belly said that her mom took a video.
Oh, yeah,
she watched
it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think that the Steven Jeremiah relationship is non-existent. I do agree that it was a little bit weird that they didn't even get one single scene together.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay.
This is from Joey.
What's up, Joey?
What songs would you love to be in next season? Ooh. I got some thoughts here.
Okay. Do you want to go first?
Well, I don't know about songs, but I feel like they always do a good job of like inserting the cast's favorite stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you're doing.
So I would love to see some Zach Bryan in season three because Gabby Casalino loves him. I think some of his songs would certainly fit the vibe.
What song?
There's a new one that just dropped with Casey Musgraves. So it's Zach Bryan, Casey Musgraves. It's a banger. It would fit. Check it out if you haven't heard it. Or if you don't know Zach Bryan, he's the man.
Yeah. I think there may or may not be a question that we'll answer about this. But
you looked?
Maybe. It was something... Well, I mean, I'm sure people have been asking me a lot directly just about the spoiler alert, book three storyline about Jeremiah and what he does and whether it does constitute cheating, yes or no, all of that stuff. So I think that Olivia Rodrigo, traitor.
Oh yeah, you said that.
Right. I think depending on how that all plays out, like that could be something.
Because the lyrics of that song are very like
very
Ross and Rachel, you know.
We're on a break. Yeah, it's all we're on a break stuff. So there's that. Or you know, when you catch feelings
all
for somebody.
Well.
All Too Well, I was gonna say. All Too Well for sure. There's some stuff from like the Red album of Taylor Swift that I think could be utilized. I'm excited for 1989, the Taylor's version of that.
I think
out.
You should slow down on the Taylor Swift stuff because there might be another question in here.
Okay. All right.
That might have to save some for that.
Okay.
If you know what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. I got it.
Zach Bryan and Casey Musgrave's song is called I Remember Everything. Promise you'll like it.
Okay.
The Team Casey stamp of approval. All right.
Are there any Mac Miller songs that you think would fit?
Well, I know that Gavin, it was like Mac Miller was one of his top Spotify artists.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was. Yeah.
So really, Casey wants to meet Gavin, and then they're just going to hang out and listen to hang out music and vibe together. Just vibe.
So I have a chicken or the egg theory with that, because you were the one who showed me. Sup, Shay? You were the one who showed me that Mac Miller was in Gavin's top five,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But was he in his top five because he loves Mac Miller, or because he was listening to that song a lot because he had that big scene where
Ooh.
Circles was in it?
That is an excellent point.
So I haven't had him pegged.
Wow. Well, that's like my summer YouTube, I guess, Wrapped came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, One Direction is your number one top listen. Well, I guess Taylor Swift was, but it was like One Direction was on there. Like, no, it's exactly one song that I put on repeat ever since Love Scene came out.
It's a good one.
Go for it.
Do you think Jeremiah and Conrad liked Belly before she became pretty?
Oh, okay.
I think I know, probably unpopular opinion here.
Unpopular opinion? Why don't you start with your unpopular opinion? Because I think my opinion is pretty popular.
I would say that they were always liked her, but maybe not in the way of like.
Okay.
Like they liked her, wanted to hang out with her friends,
mm-hmm.
but maybe didn't like until that attraction was there.
Okay. I think.
And maybe more Jer than Conrad.
Really?
Yes, as a younger tyke.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting take. I'll take the opposite side of that.
Sure.
Well, okay. So for me, I think that Conrad has probably paid more attention to Belly from kind of overseeing her kind of way, because he was asked to as the older of the kids. But I think he actually clues in on what's important to her, how she ticks, like what her emotions are about things.
The ages could get funny there too, though, because Conrad's grown up when he turns like 14 and she's still 12. That's like at that age range, that's
sure.
A pretty big gap.
Sure. Which is around the same time as the Junior Mint stuff, right? Mm. So I think that the way it's written, and I don't know about the show necessarily, but the way that it's written, Jeremiah actually says in the show, like, when I saw her last summer, I was done for. So, like, explicitly he says that when he saw her last summer. It sent it over the top. Right. And he even says to her, hey, look at you all grown up.
Mm-hmm.
So they're giving Jeremiah actual lines that indicate, again, I don't know what's in his heart, right? He's a fake character. But they're giving him lines that indicate that he just newly is interested in Belly. Okay.
Mm-hmm. What about the hand-holding inside the tent?
Okay, there's hand-holding inside the tent. Fine, okay. Right? But what I'm saying, I'm not saying it's the gospel, right? But I'm saying they explicitly gave him lines to make it seem like, oh, wow, she's hot this year. And he even says...
She turned pretty, bro.
And he even says, though, at the same time, he says, but I wasn't the only one. So he also noticed that Conrad liked her, too,
mm-hmm.
in that same scene when she gets out of the car. On the other hand, okay. Right... I may be reading too much into it, but I always think of the I liked you better with glasses. Some people are like, he's being a dick, right? Like, did you think when he says that he's being a dick?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he doesn't even, at that point, wasn't thinking of her in that kind of way.
See, that's where we disagree. So I think it's the opposite.
Well, I think it's like he doesn't want everyone to see how beautiful she is.
That's fine. But yeah, but that's way different than he isn't interested in her.
Well, it's like he doesn't want her to go up, grow up and be a
rock star. I interpret that differently. Yeah. I think he's noticing that she is different and she's pretty, but I think he is saying to her that he liked her just fine before.
He's also keenly aware that she's in love with him. So he knows that.
That's true. Exactly.
So maybe that if she realizes how pretty she is, she explodes, then maybe he won't be as important to her.
Yeah, I don't think he's that selfish. That paints him into a very selfish...
So you really took it literally?
I took it very literally. Like, I think that's like a... Hey, you don't have to change yourself. Like, I've always thought that you're pretty.
Okay.
I think it's like when you're genuine, you're like, oh my God, you look so pretty. And I'm like, I'm not wearing any makeup.
Belly feels better about herself.
That's the thing. There's like a duality. That's why I like that scene so much. Because
you catch it on the beginning of every podcast.
I know. Well, that's what I like about it, right? There's like a sense of like, well, I like me better without them. That's her saying like, I like me a certain way. I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling good. I'm turning pretty. Like, that's very good and very important for Belly. But on the other hand, you can think of it as Conrad is saying that in a dickish way. You can also think of it the way that I think about it, which is that he has been in love with her for a while. And that she doesn't need to go change it herself.
And you can also love someone, but the attraction isn't there.
But I think the attraction was there, because what he tells her after they kiss is, you have the prettiest smile. I've been meaning to tell you that all summer.
But she had turned pretty since the beginning of the summer.
I know. I'm just saying.
Okay.
But I don't think that her taking her glasses off and growing up is necessarily like what Conrad is attracted to by her.
Okay. Yeah. True. True that.
And I think there was jealousy when she like kissed Cam. Right? Yeah. I don't know if Conrad always was just like, oh, she likes me and I like her, but like, she's always kind of like been like a little sister. So like, why would you kiss your little sister? But I think when he's like, oh, Belly's kissing people now.
Yeah.
Like, his reaction to Cam was.
But think about that reaction at the first bonfire event too. He was kind of like little girl in her then.
He wasn't little girling her.
Let's talk about that interaction. How's that go?
Steven was little girling
her. Well, no. And she's like, I thought you hated the Red Sox. And he's like, grow up or some shit.
No, he says, you're such a brat.
That's little girling her to me.
Yeah, but it's also, she said some little girl bratty things to him. Agree to disagree.
I mean, I agree somewhat.
I think that, yes, they both were interested in her before she theoretically got pretty. I think that the lines that I didn't write, guys, I didn't fucking write them. Jenny wrote them, or whoever the writers were wrote them, made it seem explicit that Jeremiah saw her for the first time in that light.
Okay.
When she stepped out of the car that summer. And I think that Conrad had more time to think about it because he knows that she's liked him forever.
Sure.
Like, if you know somebody's had a crush on you forever, it's like as soon as you see them in a different light, you just know it.
Yeah. So I think both of them had that underlying level of love. But maybe once she turned pretty, then they realized it could grow into something bigger.
Yeah.
This one's from Elena.
Okay. What's up, Elena?
Oh, boy.
Okay. Is it a hard-hitting one?
This one's strictly for you.
Oh, the last one got us all in a tizzy.
Do you think the Infinity concept is underdeveloped? Team Conrad, love the podcast.
Ooh. Okay, so a Team Conrad. Thank you. A Team Conrad girly asking if I think Infinity is underdeveloped.
Well, they had the worst guy explaining it.
Stop it. Stop it. I don't think so. I do I guess you could think that because so far all we've gotten in the show, to your point, is like the Infinity who's just like, oh, he
go around he drew the tracks forever.
Like he drew it on our
no end.
You sound like a hobbit from the Lord of the Rings. But he like drew it on her. Oh god. Okay. Let's get back to an equilibrium here.
Dial it back in.
All right.
I'm good.
Okay, all right, I'm good. I guess you can say it's underdeveloped because, yes, they made the decision to explain the concept and how meaningful it is to her in, like, a very childish, like, young Conrad leaning over, like, drawing it on her pancakes type thing. And I think it's just because they have now left out the actual concept of infinity and when that was born, which is when they're looking at the moon and the stars together. And Belly has her quote, which in the book you don't even get that until the end of book three. So I think they're saving that. I think they're saving it.
No name, but it's Fleur_Gateau.
Okay.
Will someone call out Belly for hopping between brothers 1 month after Susanna's death? Would you like to call her out?
Would you like? Do you want to go first?
I think she means in the show someone to call
her out. Yeah. Do you want to go first?
That could come up in a Steven fight at some point. Yeah. Could come up in a Mama fight.
Yeah.
Do you know what you're doing, Belly?
Yeah. See, okay, my thought is that currently it has to be Steven.
If there's a wedding proposal, that shit's coming out.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think a wedding proposal is going to land a lot differently. Like, there are a lot of people who had things to say about it, but it seems like the characters are more developed in the show. So I could see that stuff happening. But wait.
Okay.
I think it would be Steven who ultimately would say something, except he's already done that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he already did that and was like, oh, you had Jeremiah, but you had to have Conrad too. So, like, maybe he does it in a little bit more of a tactful way. Like, I don't think he's going to, like, throw it in her face, but I think there might be something to the effect of, like, maybe Conrad doesn't come to 4th of July. Maybe he's not around as much. And Belly is like, oh, stupid Conrad. He never shows up to anything. He never does this. He never does that. Which she says in the book, like her and Jeremiah, like, make fun of Conrad for, like, oh, you know him, like, he just doesn't show up to things. You can't count on him. She even says that to Laurel. This is in book three. And I think that's a little bit unfair. And I think that it is going to be fair for Steven to rationally, not flying off the handle like he did when he was drunk at the party, but rationally just being like, Belly, you really don't know why he's not coming back. Like, you really don't know. And then I think he'll have to tell her that Conrad was, like, in love with her still last summer and they talked about it, but he just let it go when she had feelings for Jeremiah. Like, I think it's gonna come back around. So, Fleur, good question. And I think so.
From Jen, which cast member, we already talked about this a little bit. Okay. Which cast member would you most like to interview?
Ooh, interview Lola.
Who's a good Steven's a good interview. So is Chris.
Yeah. I would say Lola, mostly because I'm most intrigued by her. Like, it's just such a whirlwind. Like, you're in the middle of starting college, and it's just, like, such a great story, like a once in a lifetime type thing. I would like to talk to Chris though. Because I recently realized a little bit more of his backstory, not that he should or would ever get that deep or that real on a podcast with us. But he had, like, some family stuff.
Yeah, the role is really perfect for him.
The role is truly perfect for him.
I'm sure it helps with how he was able to channel it and
it
lined up perfectly for the
casting
directors. I'm sure it was like, this kid has gone through this already.
Yeah. Yeah. He lost his mom, right, at, like, a pivotal age in life. And I know you would want to ask him about, like, baseball, because he, like, grew up playing baseball and just kind of, like, thinking, oh, I'm going to be playing baseball, and then decided to go into acting. So I know.
All my bros are from New York, too.
He would have something there. And then also, I think that Chris is probably the most unlike his character. So it'd be nice to see his personality.
This is from a fellow Victoria.
Hi, Victoria.
Do you think Jenny will change the ending so there will be more seasons?
Oh. I think that there's a way to do it. And I am thinking it now only because I'm like knee deep in this fanfic that I'm reading, so I can kind of see it. I don't necessarily think that the ending will change, but it might get drawn out. Like, I think the major plot points will still be there and the overall arc will be the same, but how far they develop it, because a lot of people have said that the third book seemed a little bit rushed. I think that they could draw it out.
They don't necessarily need to do book three in season three. They could make book three, season three, and four.
Right. The other thing too is we do tend to see that happen a lot
mm-hmm.
when there is a strike.
Yeah.
So that's not a forecast or a prediction, but I do remember some of those shows that I was watching the last time there was a writer strike, and it wasn't like the entire guild went on strike, but like certain shows went on strike, and what they ended up doing, because they knew they needed to get the content out there for the fans,
right,
they split the season. So you remember Entourage season 3 was actually split.
I think
that's why like there's two DVD box sets on it. So I think they could do that.
You think you can get a little Saved by the Bell college years too? No, seasons 5, 6, 7.
No. I think, and I actually appreciate it, the way that shows are designed today is like with a beginning, middle, and end in mind. It's, we're not in the same day and age of like 24 episodes per season. Everybody's just trying to extend and get re-upped for as long as humanly possible. Like, I think the streaming platform, although they're not, they haven't set the actors up great, I think it does set up stories much better.
Spicy one here from Jen. Was Laurel talking about Susanna in season one when she said the fireworks would have burned us both? So reading between the lines here, is, was there any real relationship between Susanna and Laurel? And there was something else where John Conklin said, I think the only person you ever loved was Susanna.
Yeah. And she calls
good
her
question, Jen.
And she calls her her soulmate, right?
Mm-hmm. But you couldn't, the fire would have burned us both. That to me means I had to get out of there. But then they kept the relationship forever, so.
Yeah. I am not sure. I could see it based on all the breadcrumbs that were laid. But yeah, to your point, I think the fire would have burned us both was a little bit more like it would have been super messy.
This one's from Sinead.
Okay.
Will they stick to the book plot in season three? Season three predictions, will they stick to the book plot?
So we're going to do an entire like book comparison, and then we're also going to do an entire predictions
Cliff
podcast.
Notes version.
But Cliff Notes version, I've gone back and forth on this thing. At first, I was like, there's no way they can do like the wedding, the proposal, the cheating, all that stuff. I buy it more. I buy it more just because I thought the same thing about how quote unquote rough like the funeral stuff was, and Belly and Conrad fighting, and
Jenny,
Jenny really held no punches on any of that stuff and still kept it. So it'll be done differently, but I think the major plot points will probably be there. Rocky relationship for Belly and Jeremiah, Conrad being away, Jer and Belly realizing that they're not right for each other, something happens. I don't know what's going to happen, but something happens, and they
they
like double and triple down on the relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
In an absurd way. But I think the more that I think about it, it's supposed to be absurd. And if it's supposed to be absurd, it would be as absurd in 2010 as it is in 2023.
Who's the girl?
Like, when you're out to prove yourself,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you're just like, no, this is real. This is commitment. We're going to do it. So see it happening.
What's the girl's name? Jer's potential.
Lacey Barone.
All right. This one's from Meg. Okay. Why didn't we get the beach frolic? Conrad overhearing Jer in the hallway, etc.
I don't know. I don't know. I was really anticipating those scenes. The only thing that I can think, which like kudos to, oh, okay. Actually, I need your thoughts on this. So it looked very apparent that when they went back and reshot the Jeremiah when Belly was coming out of the car, they like went back and reshot the same scene from season one. It was, it seemed, we could tell that it was reshot, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It would be brilliant if they did it, but maybe they knew that for season three, they would need to use some Conrad flashbacks.
Yeah.
So they filmed extra.
That's a really good answer, actually. That's a really good answer.
Because it was so apparent. Like, because, I mean, Gavin looks so much older now. So.
Yeah. Any scenes in the book you wished had been in the show? I have one.
Okay.
I talked about it like 100 times. It's when Belly gets caught drinking an ice house or whatever, like,
yeah,
scrubby beer that she had.
Yeah, yeah. It was like Conrad only had that in the house.
Yes.
And
they're out surfing.
It was when, yeah, it's when Adam shows up, right?
Yes,
but they took it out because it wasn't Adam who was selling the house.
It would have been so funny. Because that's just a funny part in the book. Like, what, the picture of this innocent girl who's probably, like, the last... She probably had, like, 3 beers in her entire life. But when a parent comes in, you think the worst. You're like...
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Just lounging by the pool.
You have to be drinking an ice house right now at 1 o'clock in the afternoon?
Huh.
All right.
Let me think of one.
Okay.
Oh, it's a very small thing, but there's some more interactions from when Belly, Jeremiah, Steven are little that I think I'd like to see.
Okay.
Yeah. Like there's a camping one that I think would have been cute to see.
Oh, wouldn't mind seeing some camping.
So, the boys decide that they're going to take their sleeping bags and sleep out on the beach and pitch a tent.
Yeah.
And, like, pretend that they're going camping.
Sure.
And Steven and Jeremiah are doing, the no girls loud type thing. And Belly starts to cry. And Conrad gets them to stop picking on her. And then he goes over to her and he's like, maybe next time. And then her voiceover is like, that's when I realized I was in love with him.
Yeah, that would actually be
good. Because she's just like, oh, he's so cool. And he's that, like, looking out for me. Show. Yeah.
This one's from Michelle. Any storylines you hate? I think some of the volleyball stuff, I don't hate it, but the volleyball stuff in season one was done very well.
Yeah.
Volleyball stuff in season two was a little bit wonky.
Yeah. Storyline I hate. I continue. Well, we might see it in season three. I continue to hate how much of a fuck up Conrad is. Like, I'm like, you're supposed to believe that he means well as a character, but like, constantly, like, just not saying what's on his mind. Oh, and like, yeah. It's like the being a dick by omission thing is like a little bit hard,
or Jared because not being able to do anything.
Yeah, so stuff like that I think is a little bit over the top. And if I have to wait all the way until the end of season three to see Conrad like actually use his words in a like a meaningful way, like that's gonna be a lot. That's a lot to buy.
Yeah, maybe Jared will be able to do something physical.
Oh, the other thing that I don't love, right,
mm-hmm.
is that I understand that this season wasn't about Laurel necessarily, but with like Laurel and Cleveland, I'm like, give me Cleveland or don't give me Cleveland, right? Like, I
must have been a scheduling conflict or something.
I don't know. I'm like, either give him to me full tilt and like make me buy that these two are also gonna end up together, or not at all. Because he like comes back in, and then even like for the joke between Laurel and Steven, like, oh, were there shenanigans? I'm like, yeah, Laurel, were there shenanigans or were there not shenanigans? Like, what's going on here? And I think selfishly, that's probably because I like Cleveland. Like, he's a really good, fresh character.
Alfredo.
Yeah.
If season three ends like book three, do you think the other Fisher brother will get a happy ending? Yes.
1,000%.
They have to do that.
They have to. In the book, Jenny did not take any time to flesh out a lot of the characters that weren't named Belly and a little bit Conrad. So I think, I think if it happens exactly like it happens in the book, I feel like I would need that to feel good about it.
Well, this is another one from Floor. Will Jeremiah figure out what the Infinity Necklace means to Bonrad?
I mean, what does the Infinity Necklace? So that, I guess that goes back to the other question where it's like, is it underdeveloped? I think that Jeremiah...
It's more like the symbol that they're... It's like the baton they keep passing back and forth.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, if you have it, we're good. If not, we're bad, you know?
Well, if she's wearing it, we're definitely good.
And if he still, like, keeps it around...
Then he hasn't let go.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. The actual metaphor of it, yes. Do I think Jeremiah needs to know that Belly and Conrad think of it as like what he said to her, which is like, we'll always be infinite, or that like it'll always be them? I think Jeremiah is a smart guy and he can figure that out. But if I was still wearing a necklace that my ex-boyfriend gave me, it could be a necklace of a fucking carrot and you wouldn't care, right? It's the fact that it belonged to a time when you were together. Like, it's So I love that it's infinity and I like all the meaning behind it, but I don't think that Jared needs to understand the entire meaning behind it. But I do predict that, as you see, Conrad asks Belly to take it. Mm-hmm. She takes it. And when Jer walks back into the motel room, even though she's choosing Jer, so I'm not saying that she's like being shady, but she immediately stuffs it into her pocket. And I think she's going to probably keep it in a quote unquote special place. And I could totally see her when she's having relationship problems with Jeremiah, thinking about Conrad, like pulling it out, looking at it in season 3. Maybe. And I think that would be problematic for if Jeremiah caught her or found it.
Maybe her and Jeremiah will have their own,
like, you know how
necklace or some shit.
Yeah, like, you know how Belly was like, oh no, Conrad wasn't depressed over me, he's the one who broke up with me, only for her to like pick up his like book on his desk and like the necklace is like laying on his desk, right? Like, so Conrad had it out. He was, like, looking at it. It wasn't, like, stuffed in some drawer. So I think if Jeremiah finds it, there's a fight over that.
That could be a stretch.
There's going to be a fight over it.
Okay. I think it's a little bit of a stretch. Okay. We went to this murder mystery dinner party last night, and at the end of it, they were like, it was this guy because of this, 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 and this. I'm like...
Like, a lot of logical leaps here.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But okay, we'll take your word for it. Anyway, my girl Sarah here. Should we do a Wilmington meetup? Should we? Yeah.
Yes.
We should. We're going to get to Wilmington. We've been talking about it for a minute now.
Yeah, so I use the phrase loosely. I was going to say we're always in Wilmington. I am always trying to get back to Wilmington. Since the age of, like,
and listen,
12, I have constantly begged my parents to take me to Wilmington. Like, Wilmington's like one of my favorite places.
We go to the North Carolina. We went to Greensboro for some time last year for the ACC basketball tournament. We went to Raleigh the year before that for the NC State UVA game.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's plenty of – we're always trying to get down there.
To Wilmington.
Yeah, we're always trying to get to take trips. So
Wilmington. For a while, I had a client who lived in Wilmington.
And now there's
my favorite excuse ever.
There's all these new locations that we got to see.
Yeah.
So
yes, if you live in Wilmington, we should totally do meetup.
Let's get it popping. Oh, my other girl here, Insta at Tiffany's, had some really good questions.
Okay.
This is from kind of what we talked about earlier. Taylor Swift song predictions for season 3.
All Too Well.
Right. What's that one that Connor likes?
Oh, great song. Yeah.
Passenger car.
Getaway car. Oh yeah, Getaway Car would be amazing. I'm trying to think because I'm very excited about the 1989 Taylor's version dropping in a few weeks. I love that album.
What's the song with Phoebe Bridgers? Could that fit in?
Yeah,
I like that song.
Yeah,
a lot.
That's a great song.
All right, it is called Nothing New.
Nothing New would be great.
It's a macker.
Yeah. Nothing New would be great. I think if there was to be a fun-ish song, Wildest Dreams.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
This is instead of Tiffany's again. other books you'd like to see turned into series?
Okay. Should I tell them, hun? I'm going to preface this by saying I don't read a lot.
Right.
And what I mean by that is I really don't read a lot. And I am not the type of person who goes looking for books. But if I do go looking for books, they're usually of the, like, crime-ish type. So I would really like to see, like, The Hunting Party by Lucy Foley. I read, like, The Guest List by Lisa Foley. So it's Lucy Foley, I'm sorry. Yeah, which are more, like, murder mystery type things.
I'm a big nonfiction, like, memoir guy.
Yeah.
Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey. If you guys haven't read that, it's a life changer.
But how would they turn that into a series? Like, it would be a documentary, right?
It would. Yeah. There's some great, like, pictures inside the book. I do audiobooks too. If you're out there and you're like, I can't get into reading, I don't know why, try doing audiobooks. You can knock out like 30, 40 books in a year.
Yeah.
And
when
you're reading them regularly, you get like 6 or 8, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well, actually, Crying in H Mart.
Oh, that's a banger too.
I think there's, didn't we see something that they're going to come out with something? That would be a great series, and it would play like it was fiction.
Right.
Because it's a really, really good story.
And that's got a connection to your girl.
Yeah, so it's Lola Tung's favorite book.
The author is the lead singer of Japanese Breakfast, who
is featured on the Summer I Turned Pretty soundtrack.
And she loves them.
Yeah, so that would be good. And then, candidly, most of the books I do read are from produced shows or movies. And then I go back and I read the book, which is very similar to what I did with the Summer I Turned Pretty series. But Normal People, I read that book practically in one sitting, and that was amazing. And that is obviously a show on Hulu.
Yeah, I'm reading the original Friday Night Lights right now.
Oh yeah, good stuff.
Hang on 1 second, we're back. Had a little battery on the computer, had to plug her in. All right, this one's from Anna.
Okay,
shout out Anna, this is for Vicky. Please tell us more about the glass unicorn in Belly's room.
Okay. When we launched the book three,
book club,
please join if you don't know. But if you do not know, the glass unicorn, you want the Cliff Notes version?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Well, Anna, give Anna the Cliff Notes plus a little more. I don't.
Okay.
This is for her.
Okay, this is for her.
Yeah.
All right. So, Anna, basically it's a flashback in the books when the kids go to the mall. And like I said earlier, Susanna would always put Conrad in charge when they went anywhere because he was the older. So she always was like, hey, you're in charge of them. Like, you're taking care of them. So they go to the mall and the boys all want to go to the arcade and Belly, hello.
I'm counting the questions left.
Okay. And Belly wants to go to the glass blowing shop because
she wants to get a bong.
No. So when she was little, she used to love to go in there and like look at all like the little crystal items. So they said, okay, deal. Let's just meet in the food court in an hour. So she says that she like lost track of time. She spent like 2 hours in the glass blowing shop. She was like, oh crap. She runs back down to the food court and she's like, her heart's beating because she feels like she's gonna get in trouble. She's very young. She feels like she's gonna get in trouble. So she shows up at the food court and Steven and Jeremiah are like sitting in front of, I think, the Taco Bell. They're described as like eating food and like counting their tickets from the arcade. Very believable. And she gets down there and she's like, where's Conrad? Because Conrad's gonna be the one that yells at her, right? Like, because he was in charge. And they're like, he went looking for you. Where have you been?
Uh-oh.
And so she sits down. She gets an ice cream. She's sitting there eating her ice cream. And then Conrad shows back up. And he's, like, pissed. So he, like, yells at her. But, like, it's, like, the kind of yells at her. Like, you know when your parents yell at you and you feel really bad or guilty about it, but then as you grow up, you learn that it's just because they really like care about you and something could have happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like yelling at her and she starts to cry. And she was like, I was at the glass blowing shop and they like had this unicorn, blah, blah, blah. And she's like in tears. And then at the end of the day, he like apologizes for yelling at her. And then he was like, Belly, something could have really happened to you. Like from now on, we stick together, okay? And she's like, okay. And they like shake on it or like pinky swear or something like that. That's really cute. And then she says, she's like, and then that year for my birthday, he got me a glass unicorn from the glass blowing shop. And she was like, and it wasn't even the little $12 one. It was the $20 one. So
they got money, bro.
But it was it, but it's cute, right? Like it's another, it's like the infinity necklace. Because she remembers that moment probably like guilty and oh my God, like, he, you know, he's treating me like I'm a little kid, right? Mm-hmm. Like I got in trouble and Conrad yelled at me. But the way that he thinks about that moment is like something really could have happened to you. And yeah, my mom would have been up my ass about it. But he remembered that she really loved the little unicorn and he got it for her. And nobody else knows. It's like the infinity necklace, right? So like, when he gives her that, right? Everyone else is like, cool, it's a glass unicorn. Like, Susanna probably doesn't know. Laurel probably doesn't know.
Inside
Steven,
out.
Yeah, Steven Jeremiah
I hope to be
probably never paid attention. So, yeah.
Good time to talk about if you see a glass unicorn out in your travels, you can tag hashtag TSITP in the wild, because we doing this podcast, we talk about it a lot out in the world. And like one day we drove past a peach stand and you were like, oh my God, it's a peach stand. We got to do stop. And I'm like, what? And you're like, it's from the book. And I'm like, that should be something that we do.
Yep.
We hashtag TSITP in the wild. If you see an infinity necklace or if you see a
But now it's like a game that we play.
Right.
So, okay. So I'll tell you guys this.
You're doing hoop shoot.
Monday. On Monday of this week, right? We go to the thing and one of our neighbors, we'll call her, is there. And she's legitimately, guys, wearing an infinity necklace.
Oh, yeah.
She's wearing a gold infinity necklace. And has no idea the significance of it to me. But I was like, and then on that same day, we're leaving the same place. And the girl who is working the like garage parking lot has an infinity tattoo. And we're both like, did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, we're at this like cute country store.
Don't take pictures of random people, though.
Yeah. Oh, no, we didn't take pictures of her. But we were at the store and Casey points at it because it says Lola on it. So anyway, hashtag TSITP in the wild. We'd love to do a segment on it or just kind of like hear y'all stories from the wild.
Yes.
But what made me think about it is in the arcade, the Boardwalk Games episode, remember Steven and Belly see that woman reading their mom's book? And they're like, whoa, that's so weird. We've never seen somebody reading mom's actual book like in real life before. So that's what made me think about it.
Ooh, this is from Taylor Brain. I see all the Jelly fans and worry Bonrad won't get its ending. Thoughts?
My thoughts.
I think financially they would have to keep the ending the same way because
financially.
I mean, don't you think? So there is a larger population of Bonrad fans.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a part of the fan base that's super invested.
Mm-hmm.
And if it went another way, there would be a riot.
Yeah. I also think, and I've said this before, I also think that
there could be a riot.
I also think that Jenny is the creator and we're all just living in her world. And yes, she is teased that she could change the ending. I think she could change the ending in the same way that, like, yes, a UFO could land on my house right now, like, in a anything's possible kind of way. But I think that Jenny has conviction, and I think that she set out to tell a story, and I think that she's going to tell it.
And whoever wins, the other brother is going to be taken care of.
I think so.
You know? Yeah. Like, they're not going to bury a character.
Right.
Ooh, this is a good one. What else can we watch while we wait for season three? Let me take over.
Okay. You got to keep it in the same vein.
Oh, so I can't say go watch True Detective season one because it's the best season of television that's ever been made.
Well, okay.
I could say, what's that show we started last night? So we're getting into fall season, and that
Yeah.
we like when the fall season starts hitting, we get into kind of like we watch horror movies and kind of go down the Flanniverse on Netflix, all
Yeah.
those Haunting on Hill House and Haunting on
Yeah.
Hill Manor and all that.
Yes. But also on Prime Video is a new show, and it's YA.
It's YA. It's really good.
But YA and like done very, very well. Like, I think this is another one where anyone would watch it. So any of my like 30 somethings, 40 somethings, 50 somethings who like during Halloween, if you go back and watch like Halloween Town or what is it?
Stranger Things?
Stranger Things, no. Like the 30, 40, 50 somethings who will go back and watch
Focus.
Hocus Pocus. Yes. Okay. Hocus Pocus, you do not go back and necessarily watch because it's the greatest piece of
It's
film
nostalgic.
ever there. It's nostalgic and it's of a time. And if you're looking for something fresh, something new, the show is amazing. And the show is shit. Shelter.
Harlan Coben's Shelter.
Yes.
It's on Prime.
It's on Prime.
So it's on the same network as Sunrise Turn Pretty. That's cool.
Yeah. For all of my friends who watch The Sunrise Turned Pretty, I've been telling them to watch Never Have I Ever. You guys have heard us talk about that. We've done a bonus episode on that. Good love triangle, funny, very
Ooh,
quick episodes.
Wednesday. That's Chris
Wednesday.
Halloweeny also.
Yes. And you want to talk about like a young starlet who's amazing, Jenna Ortega. You probably already know. What else?
I would say if you're looking for a podcast, it's not this podcast. Armchair Expert. Huge armchairy over
It's a
here.
big
I'm a
armchair.
huge armchairy. Love that show. They have a lot of different things. And they have this every Friday. It's called Armchair Anonymous, where they have listeners to call in with stories about a certain topic they put out. In my dreams, we have something on this show like that, but I haven't figured out how to do that yet. But Armchair Expert's great. So,
Yeah.
any last thoughts?
If I mean, I don't know if everybody who watches Samurai Turn Pretty went and watched EXO Kitty, but I really loved EXO Kitty.
To recap.
Oh, also, if you're okay, so I have some people go watch Gilmore Girls. Just do it for me, please.
Okay. So,
Because it's amazing and it's great and it's streaming all the time. And yeah, go watch some Rory Gilmore because I
okay.
love her. And Dawson's Creek.
So to recap, Wednesday,
Okay.
Never Have I Ever,
Yes.
the new one,
Shelter.
Shelter, in the same kind of Halloweeny brain,
Yep.
all the Flanniverse, Haunting on Hill
Hill
House
House.
and all those. Did I say Never Have I Ever?
Yes.
Okay. You said Gilmore Girls, you said
Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek. I said True Detective season one. It's awesome.
Yeah.
The Night Of, they're kind of in the same boat. They're not
Both
YA.
HBO.
They're both HBO. They're both like really good crime,
Yeah.
true crime. Not true, but they're like true crime.
Succession.
Succession, and then podcast Armchair Expert.
The fun fact, the cast of The Sunrise Turned Pretty are big Succession fans.
I
They've
mean.
mentioned like they've mentioned yeah, they've mentioned it in multiple interviews.
Okay. We're down to about eight questions left.
Ooh.
So,
Rapid fire.
not quite done yet. Beyond what we know from book three, what is something you'd like to see in season three? That's from Jessica.
Oh gosh. I was talking to one of my friends via the podcast,
Sure.
and I came up with this theory. And if it doesn't happen, I might have to write a fanfic about it.
Okay.
Okay. So, because in book three, there's no Taylor and Steven relationship, I'm actually hoping for a scenario where Steven flies out to California to visit Conrad and Taylor goes along. And I don't know, maybe they go to a party or maybe they meet some of like Conrad's friends or whatever. And I can see Conrad still being his normal Conrad self where like he's attractive and like girls are interested in him, but he's like not really having that, mm-hmm. right? But I can also see Taylor being Taylor where she's like, oh, like you guys would be great together, like all that stuff. And I can see Taylor coming back and telling Belly about like, oh, we met Conrad's like friends who were girls and blah, blah, blah. And Belly being jealous and playing it like she's jealous of Taylor having a new best friend. And Taylor calls her out on, this is not about me replacing you with this new random girl that I met. You're just mad because it's Conrad.
Okay.
And the reason I think that is because I think it's a cool way to make the Steven and Taylor relationship go. I think it calls back to when Conrad was like, are you ready to visit me in California? And I also remember in book 3, Belly says that her and Taylor have some sort of falling out. But I think that would be a great way to bring back like the Belly, you still have feelings for Conrad.
Did you used to dip your fingers in the hot wax after you blew out a candle?
When no, but all of our audience members just watched you do it. So
I think
I definitely
I wonder I definitely, what the split is on
I that. Definitely always used to do that.
Okay, so I mean
always.
I think
like that, I do my little finger caps.
Yeah, it's gotta be like 85%.
Yeah.
Did you guys used to do that?
Fun fact, it's actually not that weird. When you go to get a manicure,
yeah.
Some places will dip your entire hand in hot wax and then they'll peel it off so it's nice and smooth.
For podcast listeners, I just did that with the candle I had here and now it smells like pumpkins and it's awesome. All right. Let us know. With the ongoing SAG strike, when do you think we will get season 3?
That's a you question.
Okay. So from everything I've read, we're looking like maybe end of 2023 back. Strike's over, like that would be a good scenario. So that puts you at maybe 6 months for production, 4 months for prep, marketing. You're probably looking at spring 2025.
Yikes.
They're not going to launch it in the fall.
Ugh. Yikes. Okay. Can I give a more optimistic look?
Sure.
Okay. Here's my optimistic takes. I am fairly sure, like I would bet a lot of money on the fact that they already have the scripts for season 3. Okay. The reason I think that is because with season 1, they were releasing it and went to go shoot it in Wilmington, like literally a month after the release. So they must have had the scripts ready to go beforehand.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that, don't interrupt me.
Okay.
I'm thinking that they already had the scripts.
Okay.
So I think it's ready to go as soon as they say go. That's number one. Number two, I don't think that anyone would disagree that The Summer I Turned Pretty is probably the number one show that Prime Video's got.
Okay.
And even though they're not really meeting the actors halfway at this point on this whole strike thing, I think they do realize that if they don't get The Summer I Turned Pretty production soon, they're going to miss out. Yeah, they're going to miss out the window and they're going to miss on some money. So I think that they will probably pool resources to try to get that production launched before Shelter season 2, right? Or Jack Ryan season 2.
I think.
So that's my thought. Wait, I'm not done.
Okay.
Okay, so those are my two points to start.
So when would your time
be? Hang on, right? Okay. So my thought then is that they could still shoot. Maybe they do make a decision to break it into two parts so that they don't have to, so that they release like half a season, like they release 4 episodes in 2024. Ooh. And then loop back around for the other 4 episodes.
I like that idea. Like, okay, maybe we cut the production down to 2 months. Get 4 or 5 episodes in the can, release that.
Right. And then I think that also satisfies the summer thing. Like, I would totally be fine watching the back half of it in January of 2025, right? Like, I don't have to wait for the entire summer.
Would basically make it like four seasons.
And it would basically make it like four seasons.
I like your idea better. But depending how long production takes, I think they need to get something out for 2024. It's a gold mine for them.
Yeah.
So
from the studio's perspective, yeah.
Yeah, but it all depends on, that's if the strike ends before 2023 is over.
Sure.
Okay. We talked about this a little bit. For Melanie, mm-hmm. What scene from the third book are you most looking forward to in the show?
Ooh, hi, Melanie. It's not the same at all. So I do agree that there's going to be a sort of wedding-ish thing.
Okay.
Although I...
questions left.
Although I don't... It seems really...
This is the popcorn bowl for all our movies, by the way.
Yeah. So I think that if they are going to do the wedding thing, then I think Jeremiah has to cheat. Because there's been so much back and forth on Conrad and Belly and Jeremiah at this point, because they put that extra flip in season one, that really the only way I think Conrad feels that he has the right to break up their wedding is if he finds out that Jeremiah cheated on her and he goes to tell her. So if that's the case, there's one part of the book that, like, literally I was in tears, like actual tears, while reading it, while listening to Lola do it. I cried even more when I heard it in Lola's voice. And then I immediately reread the chapter like probably three times in the same sitting before moving to the other chapter, which is their fight on the beach. So the fight on the beach, the actual confession of love, the don't be with him, be with me, after he finds out that she's marrying him even after he cheated on her.
Fight on the beach.
But the problem with that is we already had a fight on the beach, although I guess in the books there's two fights on the beach as well. So that's a scene that I really want just because it's devastatingly beautiful. And I would love to see Lola and Chris play that out. But it might not happen if they change like the plot line. But I do want to see Peaches.
I got my peaches. I've enjoyed. Oh, that peaches.
Yeah, I do want to see the peaches. So.
Your turn. Pick one. There's five left.
This one.
Okay.
Do I get to read it?
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Frank, have y'all seen the theory about Belly wearing Conrad's blue shirt in season two, like episode four?
The blue Cousins rowing shirt like I wear right now?
No. The episode four. So episode four, when they're on the boardwalk they shoot your shot. Yeah, she's wearing a blue shirt and it's got like it's like a crew neck and it's got the red and white stripes on the side.
Yeah, it says like play or truth or something on it.
Yeah. I don't know where that came from. I think it's because it's a men's shirt. So like number one, it is a men's shirt. And I think somebody said something about how it was in Chris Briney's wardrobe. And they made a selection for Belly to wear it. So I'm not really sure, like, if they just, like, costume direction decided to go that way. But it'd be some shit if she was wearing his shirt in front of him. After
he
all,
he would have mentioned it. He would have said something.
I don't know. But remember that Conrad is, like, 2-4 is when he's actually flirting back with her.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends it with like Steven telling him, I see that the vibes are still there between you guys, and he's smiling, and then he goes back in for the whole like, why did you choose the giraffe, why didn't you want another junior mint thing. So I'm like, he's gregarious in that episode, he's lighthearted in that episode. Yes. I'm wondering, and he calls her his girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
in the Donati thing.
That was circumstantial, but
okay, fine. But I'm like, if the girl who you were last dating is wearing your shirt, like, I don't know, I would probably use that as like a time to dip a toe in the water and like flirt around a little too. I don't know. It's weird either way, but I don't know. Maybe Jenny sometimes gives us confirmation about things. So maybe if we keep asking, Jenny will give us confirmation one way or the other.
This is my favorite question of the entire thing.
You saved it for the end.
No, I just ran. I mean,
oh,
I
okay. Okay.
Insta at Tiffany's. If there was a spinoff for one of the characters, who would you want it to be?
You go.
Easy. Conrad's roommate. Husky.
You want to see the 5G?
I want to see the 5G conspiracy show that he's on. I know he's probably got some other interesting, wacky thoughts, too. I would say...
And, like, spinoff in adult years, right? Or would it be a spinoff...
I would love to see...
In current time.
I don't know if Conrad makes a good show at Stanford. Like, it would, but Conrad would have to be that gregarious, fun guy, not, like...
Yeah, we're not... Yeah.
I think Belly Jer, the... The college years would be cool.
Okay.
I think that you can see Cleveland Castillo is such a cool kind of character that could be like its own.
But he would need to be way sitcom. More interesting.
Right? He is like, interesting.
I feel like he's so boring and like.
They don't give him enough stuff.
I think the stuff with Laurel is his most interesting. I don't know.
I mean, but there's the one.
Yeah.
The one that the Steven Taylor.
Okay, in the spirit of...
Or just Taylor.
In the spirit of interesting, I think Taylor.
Just Taylor. That's my vote.
Yeah.
Just Taylor.
Well, okay, so there's this thing where Taylor goes to Finch, right, with Jeremiah and Mellie.
I don't know if I like that.
But if Taylor goes to a different college, I am all in on seeing Taylor in college.
Do you think Taylor goes to Finch in the show?
Yeah. Yeah.
That kind of keeps the tighter bond with Steven, too.
Yeah.
Like that's because families are closer, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Love that question. I wouldn't want a Susanna spinoff. I wouldn't want a Laurel spinoff. I wouldn't want...
Would you want an Adam Fisher spinoff?
I mean, you kind of know that.
Would you want a John Conklin?
No, I wouldn't want Adam. Wouldn't want a John. Wouldn't want an Aunt Julia. Sky could have an interesting spinoff.
Sky could have an interesting... Cam?
Whaleboat?
A whaleboat
with Cam Cameron.
Hmm.
How did you get the idea to start this podcast? A question mark, a book girly?
Candidly, pure obsession.
So Vicky was going crazy about this show. We looked back on the text messages the other day that we found from the first time she found the show. And
you were at work.
I was at work. And it was a Saturday. You were sending me these things. And... That was funny, but she was like in it, loved it, and she was talking about it, and I was like, let me look to see if there's a podcast about this show, because she wasn't into podcasts at the time. So I'm like, I'll find you a podcast, you can listen to that, and it'll expand your
thinking thing. And yeah,
there wasn't a podcast, so I was like, hun, we should do a podcast. It was like, you should do a podcast on this show.
Yeah.
I'll help you get it launched.
Yeah, mind you. Okay, so mind you, it wasn't that big of a stretch for me, guys, because Casey had already been doing podcasts for a while.
Yes.
So Slacky Brown Media, if you follow us on YouTube, was already like a channel that he had that he created. And I've been watching him do.
And she's been on podcasts with me before for UVA sports and stuff like that. So it wasn't a huge... stretch. It was just and we figured it out on our own, just kind of like going down the path and seeing what worked, seeing what didn't. We figured out that us doing it together was the funnest way. And
and it did happen to fall in a weird time where we did listen to a lot of like Dax and Monica, and then we were also watching a lot of like Fixer Up.
Oh, we love Chip and
so we like Chip and Joe and their dynamic, because it's like real, but they're married. And then when we went to Hawaii, we found this couple who, shout out Trip to Travel Gear.
They
post stuff like just like video diaries of them on vacation together, and we're like, man, how cool would it be? Like, you know, we have good chemistry, and we're like not trying to be funny, we're just kind of like
I guess it's just I don't know,
we have this like banter and whatnot in real life, so we're like, yeah, like let's let people in on the dinner conversations that are already happening.
And it's been fun,
mostly because I legit, guys, I was so obsessed. I didn't have a lot of friends who liked the show, and I'm not really that type of person who's like, oh, you got to watch this. Like, if it comes up in conversation, I definitely recommend The Summer I Turned Pretty all the time.
So it's good when you have someone who's already invested in it.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was pretty exciting. And then just by sheer me rewatching it over and over and over again, Casey started to actually pick up on some things and started to like ask me questions and started to be like, well, what do you think about this? Or like, isn't that a little bit far-fetched? And
stuff. I just love the podcast.
Yeah.
I love the show. I love you. I like The Summer I Turned Pretty. I like stories.
Mm-hmm.
So like definitely into it, like way into making the conversation good and the characters, you know, they're easy to fall in love with.
Yeah.
And I think there's a little bit of magic that goes on with our show too. And this is another example of it because there was 30 questions in that bowl.
Yeah.
And we got through however many, 28 of them that were all about the show. And the last two tie in together so well.
Okay.
It was, how did you start the show? And then the last question is, are you going to do any other TV show podcasts?
Ah.
And it's like, I didn't pre-plan this, but it happened, worked out that way.
There's a little bit of magic that happens.
Yeah, how did we start the show? We talked about it. And now, are there any other shows you'd consider doing podcasts for? The reason why this show works is because Vicky loves it.
Yeah.
And spends all her time, like a lot of her time, looking through things and investigating.
Yeah.
And I think we have a lot of ideas that tie back to The Summer I Turned Pretty that are authentic. If we do another show, it's got to be authentic.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't want to do any show just to do a show.
Right.
So that's part of it.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to do more shows,
mm-hmm.
but it's got to have.
Yeah.
Like, get Vicky going.
Yeah, there are plenty of shows, and ask me for the list of recommendations. We did some of them today.
Yeah.
There are a lot of shows where I do feel as strongly about the characters. I do feel as strongly about
I'll
the
reveal
love.
That after.
Yeah, I do feel as strongly about the love interests. I do have my take on this person sucks or this person's shitty and this person's great. And similar to how I defend Conrad Fisher to the very depths of mm-hmm. the ocean, I actually do that with a lot of characters, so it is not out of character for me to fall in love with a show and have a lot of opinions about it. For the podcast to work, I think there was something nice about it being new and mm-hmm. fresh, the show being new and fresh. I really did resonate with the fact that it was Asian representation.
Sure. That was huge.
That was big.
That was like one of the first messages.
Yeah. I like that there's a book to show, right? There's just more content and there's more interesting stuff to talk about.
Right.
Because we can talk about how it deviates and what changes and things like that, that I think are really deep. And then I also think that we're really blessed with the fact that it is a young group of actors
and they get it right,
and they got it right
mm-hmm.
and because we can go back, like I can go back and review shows that I love, which is totally fine, and I would so do it, but those actors have gone on to have different roles now, and you see them in different things, and there's something very
they're still living in this
yeah area. There's something very nice and pure about the fact that, like, these kids
are still those characters,
and they're not kids, they're adults, right? But they're literally blowing up based on the show, and it's nice to be along for that ride.
So speaking on this topic, we thought, like, I'm down to do more. I would be down to do more shows.
Mm-hmm.
I love doing the show with Vicky. I think it's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how can we incorporate maybe some shows that I want to talk about or some other shows that you've loved in the past? And we thought, you love Conrad. What are the other Conrads that you've had throughout TV?
Yeah.
Throughout your life.
Yeah.
And I know some of them because when she compares things. So we're going to do a mini series throughout the off season, in addition to the book club, where we do whatever it is, 6 episodes. Who are they? Like Pacey from Dawson's Creek.
Yeah.
Tim Riggins from Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Jess from Gilmore Girls.
Yep. It's so impressive, by the way, yeah, that he can name these. So if he can name these, you guys know how I feel about these characters.
Yeah, so I think however long the episodes are, even if it's 4 or 5, I don't know how long the miniseries will be, but yeah. I think it's a good way to get us extra content and something fun to do in the midst of the off season.
Yeah.
Who else is there?
I mean, those are...
Oh, Paxton, Holly Ishida.
Yeah, Paxton, Holly Ishida. I mean, those are the primary five. And then there's, like, I was a really big sucker for Arrow, so I like the Oliver Queen, kind of, like, bad boy turned good, Felicity, Smoke. I love all that. One Tree Hill is a little bit different because you can look at the triangle from a Lucas, Peyton, Brooke, but really I compare Lucas and Nathan all the time. Anyway.
I haven't seen any One Tree Hill, but I'm willing. I love Friday Night Lights. I know some Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
I'm down to take a crash course in Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, because you love Josh Jackson.
Yeah, right? That's the big homie. Yeah. Mighty Ducks. And Never Have I Ever, I like
you
a lot.
Watched.
So yeah. I think we can definitely do 4 or 5 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And talk about some of the other Conrads. We're workshopping the idea.
Let us know what you think.
Yeah, we're workshopping the idea. If you have any other recommendations, maybe we can throw those in.
Okay.
All right. I can't believe how those questions worked out. The two questions about the actual podcast.
I know. Legitimately, guys. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple, thank you so much. But if you want to watch us literally pick from the bowl.
On YouTube.
There's that too.
Yes.
All right. So.
At Better With Glasses Pod on Instagram. BetterWithGlassesPod@gmail.com if you want to write in. Y'all love writing in and we love having it. So that's awesome. Thanks for listening and thanks for all the support.
Thank you, everyone. And we'll see you next time.